from the guilty pleasures.
Kylie Jenner to the foyer. I have a little surprise for you.
Some chicken!
To the thrill of the rose.
This is the tough part. Unfortunately, there's going to have to be people that go home tonight.
And the jaw-dropping scandals.
You know, I wasted everyone's money. I wasted everyone's everything, and I feel bad.
I cheated on
two in one weekend.
Welcome to Watch With Us.
Watch With Us.
An inside look into your favorite TV shows, which delivers the latest TV news that you want to know about. Here's your host,
ladies and gentlemen,
Us Weekly's Emily Longaretta.
Welcome back to the Watch With Us podcast. I am your host, Emily Longaretta. I hope everyone is staying safe and staying sane and staying indoors. As a reminder, you can listen to new episodes of the podcast every week on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you are looking for your podcast. This week, as you guys know, is the challenge finale. Everyone knows that I am maybe the biggest challenge fan. I've been covering the show for years. So when this season wrapped up, I knew I had to be on top of it. I had to talk to the one and only winner of the show. So this is your last warning. If you were listening to this and you haven't yet watched the finale, you are about to be very spoiled. So that's your last warning. Without further ado, here is my interview with the one and only Johnny Bananas.
I have to start out saying congratulations to the official GOAT of the challenge, even if he was maybe before, Johnny Bananas. Thank you so much for joining.
Woo-hoo!
Hey! Listen, there's been a lot of debate, Emily, who the true GOAT of the challenge was, all right? Mm-hmm. Some say this person, some say that person, but I think you have been the final arbiter of who that is, and I just want to say thank you for that.
You're welcome. I'm here.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was
a great season. I have to say it was something we never saw before. I would say it was completely different and you killed it.
I could not agree more. Listen, in the 20 seasons that I've done, I thought that I had seen and done it all, but leave it up to the challenge to once again, just completely blow your mind when it comes to the challenges, the format of the show. You know, I'd like to think that before I was able to kind of come in kind of knowing what was at stake and what the game was going to be and how it was going to be laid out. Now you have no idea from start to finish what the twists are going to be, what the turns are going to be. The fact that we showed up this season, we were in a house, we were living in a bunker, which I think ultimately ended up, the bunker was the true competition, you know, and which is why I think you didn't see as much maybe of the toxicity and all the drama and all the negativity. That wasn't just from, you know, lack of certain people being there. I also think it was, you know, when it all came down to it, that was the ultimate challenge was defeating the bunker. And I think a lot of people came together. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you said in the beginning, like when we talked before the show premiered, that you were saying, like, in a way, it really kind of did bring people together, and different people broke throughout the season at different times, which we saw so evident. Some people it affected right away, other people it hit later.
And some you didn't even see.
Yeah, some we didn't see. Some will seem like you're completely fine with it. For you, what was your moment where you were like, I'm going crazy in here?
Absolutely. Right. The day I nominated myself to go into elimination, I just got to the point. At first, I was kind of doing what everyone else was doing. I mean, for me, I've said this before in interviews. At this point, we're like well-trained dogs, okay? And going in every season, and it's like, you know, the ultimate goal season after season is to not go into elimination or to try as hard as you can to not. You're going to go in regardless, but the goal is to not go in. So once that was turned on its head, and now this season it was like, no, the goal is to go in. I think people like me, who've spent 19 seasons conditioning and training myself to not go in, to then be like, no, this is the goal. You have to go in. I think I was a bit ambivalent about actually pulling the trigger. And I was kind of another one of the ones to just sit back and be like, all right, let's see how this thing plays out. Maybe there's going to be a twist. Maybe you don't have to go in. Maybe, who knows? And I saw a lot of people hit their breaking point very early on. And I was kind of cruising for a while. Like, I was like, dude, everyone was over here breaking and cracking and having meltdowns. I'm like, is this something that, does this mean that I'm the weird one for this not happening, or are they? But then it came to a point, and I don't know what it was, but I just woke up one morning and I was just in a world of misery, depression. I mean, I'd never really experienced depression until, like, serious depression until what we had to endure. And there was just nothing, there was nothing inside of me that wanted to go another second living in this bunker, enduring that type of mental pain and anguish, if I didn't have a purpose. And that's why I basically threw the challenge and nominated myself to go in, was because, you know, I was not going to subject myself to that place and to those elements for one more second, without a purpose of doing so. So that's why I did what I did.
Well, I want to rewind a little and go into the final and kind of break down a little bit, because you, from the start, you guys get told to pack your bags. You guys, the alarm goes off. How long did it take you to get to wherever you guys were competing?
A long time.
Was it a long ride?
It was about a 9-hour bus ride.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. We drove from the Czech Republic to Austria, which if you would have told me on a map, like find Prague and find Austria, I would have never been able to do it. So we didn't know where we were going, obviously, but you know, we're in a bus and we're seeing signs for, like, you know, Germany. And then at one point we're on this road. I mean, everything just in that area, in that part of Europe, everything's pretty flat. Mm-hmm. We're on this freeway, this highway, which just seemed like forever. And then all of a sudden we look out the window and off in the distance, we just see these like snow capped peaks. And I know just from being on past challenges, it's like, that's where we're going. I don't know what those are over there, but we're definitely heading up to altitude. And that was the first time. I mean, listen, you see who's going into this final, okay? Rogan just won last season, you know, so you know what he's got. He's got what it takes. Fessy, the guy's an absolute monster this entire season. Kyle, listen, might not be like the brightest bulb, but the thing about Kyle, and he's impressed a lot of people in the past before, is that guy just does, he has a motor, and the guy just doesn't, has no quit in him. So I'm looking at the guys on this, you know, in this bus, and I'm like, this is going to be a tough final, you know? This is going to be, and then, as soon as I saw the mountains and I knew we were going up to elevation, I was like, all right, hopefully this is going to kind of give me a slight edge, because I've not only competed in, I think, every high altitude challenge. I've actually won every high altitude challenge that I've been on. First X's 2, then Free Agents. And it's not just that, but I also, I mean, spent a lot of time living at altitude. So I was hoping that this was going to be something that was going to, you know, obviously play in my favor. I mean, Fessy said he's never been above sea level before. So that was news. That was good news to me.
Could have been why he gassed out.
Yeah. Tell you what.
I was really surprised. To be honest, I was very surprised the order that the men came in, because going in, I thought, oh, this is like, even if you win, I would think your biggest threats would be like Fessy, Corey, Kyle. When it came in the opposite way. I mean, of course, math also played into that, which you never know with math.
You never know, especially me sitting here. I am, when it comes to math, I'm garbage. Like, math has never been my strong suit. I mean, you saw earlier on in the season, the first challenge that we did, I couldn't divide 35 or 32 by 2 or whatever, some 36 by 2 was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Trying to do math equations, you know, with no pressure for me is difficult, let alone doing a math equation in a blizzard. Using nothing but my ski pole in snow to write it out, you get one shot pretty much to figure out the, you know, this four-digit equation. And that right there is what won me the final challenge, was figuring out that math equation, because Corey and Kyle were right behind me. I think they got it like a minute and a half, 2 minutes after I did. Right. And that's what ended up then, you know, making up the difference. So me, the guy that has the ability, I can't, you know, my math abilities are absolutely terrible. For that to have been such a major factor in me winning the final was it just adds on to, you know, the layers of just insanity that, you know, this season had.
Obviously, the weather is always, you know, that's not controlled. I'm sure production was thrilled that morning, because that made the challenge so much more entertaining for us to watch. I mean, I imagine that visibility was extremely hard, because I'm sure the cameras were struggling to get you guys. Like, I don't know.
One of our cameramen almost died, okay? We were on a trail. Like, we had to be, because, I mean, you're on a glacier. I mean, we are up on, it was high. I think we slept at 11,000 feet and we summited even higher than that. For anyone who's never been up to altitude, okay, when you're that high, and especially when you get up that high, you're supposed to like acclimate. You're supposed to spend a few days allowing your body to like adjust to the fact that you are now 11,000 feet higher than you were, like parachuting height. And you don't realize, I mean, getting up at night to go to the bathroom, you get to the toilet and you have to like brace yourself against the wall because you're out of breath. You go up a flight of stairs, you're like, what? Why am I in such terrible shape? Because you're out of breath going upstairs. So you can only imagine, you know, hiking for hours and climbing through this snow. I mean, it was brutal, but yeah, we were on this little tiny path, and the morning of the second day of the final, this crazy blizzard blew in overnight that they hadn't expected, made visibility just absolutely terrible. And one of the camera guys fell off of the trail, and the snow was so deep that he literally sunk up to his neck in the snow, and they had to like use like camera, they had to use like tripods and camera equipment to pull this guy out. So he didn't like, yeah. Yeah. He didn't like turn. Yes. Yeah, so we didn't bury himself in an avalanche. So
I guess I should have been also on a harness.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. It was no joke.
And I know for someone like, I used to snowboard, I'd go down the mountain once in my life, and I'd be sore for 4 days. So how hard is it? I want you to a little bit of explain, because you have obviously had experience on a mountain, but for people that don't know, like skiing isn't easy, especially if you've never skied before. So how like hard was that? And like, how much were your legs in pain?
I grew up skiing. Okay. Right. I am a very good skier. Those weren't skis. Whatever we were on, those like turn of the century, Wright brother, little shit sticks they put on our feet. Listen, at first I was like, perfect. This is going to be great. I can ski. I don't think anyone else here knows how to ski. Okay. But they were like these cross country where your toe clips in and your heel doesn't. And those are meant, if you like see like the little tracks that people go on, like cross country tracks, those aren't meant for like slaloming down a hill. So once you got these things on, it was like there was zero control. The fact that, I mean, Bailey hurt her knee, but the fact that everybody didn't walk away from there with like a torn ACL is, I think, even more impressive than the fact that like almost everyone finished the challenge. I mean, that was just starting off the challenge, you know, cross country skiing / hiking / building fires. I mean, I knew at that moment, I knew that this challenge was going to be absolutely just mind numbingly brutal. And it just got harder as the day went on.
I was honestly so impressed that the whole group of you finished the first, like, not that it didn't matter. I mean, the order obviously did matter in the next round, but like Melissa still finished. I was like, more than any of us could do. Granted, she had a little one helping her, but
still. Yeah. Well, Melissa actually, she had help. Okay. She had someone, Melissa had someone pushing her up the mountain. So, yeah.
Exactly. All right. So when Corey and Jenny win the tribunal, were you immediately like, I'm going in? Or did you kind of, you and Corey obviously made this, you know, kind of, you were on okay terms this season.
Yeah, no, what kind of screwed it up was the fact that, that Rogan nominated himself. Had that not happened, I think someone else would have been voted in, and then Rogan would have been voted in against them. That's what would happen. But by Rogan nominating himself, it then gave Corey the perfect opportunity to throw me in. I was on the fence. I didn't know which way it was going to go. I obviously didn't want to go into elimination. And the fact that Jenny was there, who obviously, you know, me, her, Kyle, Melissa had kind of had this alliance. We've been working together. I knew she wasn't going to say my name. And I was hoping that given the fact that, you know, I had basically stuck to my word this entire season and kind of looked out for Corey and not thrown him in when I had the opportunity to. The fact that he didn't return the favor in arguably the most important time of the entire season was annoying, but totally understandable. I mean, I get it. Listen, I 100% was the biggest threat there. I had the best elimination. I mean, I'm sorry. I have the best final win record there, I think, out of anyone. And I mean, the fact that he knew that I was going to be his biggest competition the next day, I totally got why he did what he did. It doesn't make it any less painful that here we are after an entire day of going through what we had to go through, that now I have to, you know, be put into another elimination. So as much as it sucked in the moment, for me afterwards, you know, the reward was totally worth it. And the reward, not just necessarily being, hey, you get to sleep inside, but the fact that, and I had said this earlier, listen, there's gonna be a lot of naysayers coming out of the woodwork after the season is over, trying to invalidate everything that I did. whether it's going to happen. But this, by being the one to go into the only one to go to go in and win an elimination in the final, I think it's just going to just add one more, you know, a conspiracy that people are going to have to try and unwind in order to discredit what I did this season. And, you know, it just made that road for me a little, you know, more difficult than it already was. And it made the final, you know, that much and victory that much sweeter, because again, I had the hardest road to trek this season of anyone in that final. And the fact that I won it the way that I did, I think, you know, again, just made it that much more special.
Totally. And you didn't have to listen to Kyle talking for 6 hours outside.
Jesus. No. That would have been worse. I would have rather done the elimination than listen to Kyle.
But I mean, it was also a very strange elimination. I think people were assuming there was going to be like some crazy thing, and they're like, jump and hit this bell. And it was like, wait, what? But it clearly was more difficult than it looked.
So we thought the same thing. We're like, wait, what? Wait, what's the elimination? We got to run up and jump and hit a bell. This is going to be easy. Well, once you actually tried to jump and hit the bell, that instant I realized, okay, now I see why this is an elimination. Generally, if you're going to run and jump and hit something, you're going to like take off like a few feet before it. The way the snow was so deep that every time you ran, you sunk up to damn near your knees. So when we both tried, we both had the same idea. We run up, and as soon as we go to jump, it was like you just sink in the snow. So then it became, oh my God, like how am I going to – it basically then became I have to get directly underneath the bell in order to jump and to hit it. It was it may not have been, you know, obviously the most ferocious looking of eliminations, but I mean, it was a lot more difficult than either one of us thought it was going to be.
Well, you both looked exhausted after, and like neither of you, you're both strong men. So I would assume it was hard.
Dude, sprint. Listen, we were up, the altitude is so, that's another thing people need to realize. Everything that we, whether it was camera gear, food, supplies, you know, everything that we had to be Sherpa'd up to this mountain. Okay. So they had to essentially put like this elimination barrels, ropes on the backs of like locals and production to get it up there. So there's no way you're going to set up some elaborate elimination on the peak of a mountain in the Austrian Alps. So the fact that they even got that set up was pretty incredible. But yeah, I mean, it was not what I wanted to have happen. But again, same with the West elimination. Did I want, if it was up to me, did I want West to nominate himself to go in? No. But after he did and after I won, it made it that much better of a storyline. Did I want to be voted into this last elimination? No. But because I went in and because I won, again, it's just it really is just going to add, you know, one more element to my season that was already, you know, dynamic.
Of course. What, where do you stand with Wes now? Are you guys like, you guys best friends now?
Yeah, we're cool. I mean, it's not like this season didn't necessarily, him nominating himself to go in didn't really necessarily change anything. If anything, I think it now, on his end, at least, makes him, you know, he's probably going to make him think twice and give pause if he ever wants to throw himself in against me again. But I think if anything, it proved to the two of us that if we could do it, like anything is possible.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. You might be seeing the Johnny Bananas Bergman alliance on future seasons to come. So.
Well, yeah, and with that, I mean, you obviously always say you'll keep doing this until your body can't. Is there part of you that's like, maybe I should bow out on top?
There was, I'll tell you what, after this final was over, but that's how I feel after every season. That's why I always like to have some time after to just like let it all like sink down and come back to reality. Because if you ask anyone, the second they're done with it, it's like, you see like a lot of times with like professional athletes too, if they like lose like a really big game, it's like their first instinct is I'm done, because they're kind of just going off, you know, just the emotion in the current moment. But, you know, I did out of the gate, you know, just as trying as this one was emotionally and physically and mentally, I think I did have that in my mind that I was that I'd seen my last one. But now after, you know, giving some time and letting it all sink in and rewatching it, I feel like if anything, I've just proven to myself and everyone else out there that I still have exactly what it takes to compete at an incredibly high level. I still have a lot to offer to the show, to the franchise, to the viewers, to myself. So yeah, I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. Just getting warmed up.
Glad to hear it. What are you doing with the money? Any big purchases in your mind?
Nah, I think like everyone else out there, I'm a little unnerved by kind of what's going on out there right now. And so no, for now it's all just going to go where the rest of it is, right under my mattress. I've always been pretty thrifty when it comes to the way that I live, and that's not going to change. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, if things keep going the way that they are, I mean, you know, if the market goes down, it'd be nice to possibly, you know, purchase some investment property. Cause we all know before this all happened, I mean, it was not a great time to buy real estate, but who knows, you know, it could be soon. I'm not going to be doing anything lavish. I'm not going to be doing anything crazy with it. I know I said this before when I was standing on a mountain next to Sarah, and I said, "Hey, this might be, I might never see this again. This might be the last time that I ever get this opportunity and have this, this big of a prize win on the challenge." But I think I actually mean it this time. I cannot see. I'm not sitting here being a pessimist or downplaying my own abilities, but I don't see how from here on out anybody ever lets me even make it to a final again. But I'm okay with that. Listen, I will happily show up, compete, do my thing. At this point on the challenge, I feel like I am playing with house money. I proved a lot of people wrong. I proved myself wrong. Okay, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that a little bit of doubt started to creep into my head as well. You know, 3 seasons, 4 seasons, 5 seasons after, you know, not making it to a final, not even sniffing a final, some of the eliminations that I'd had, some of the ways that I had gone out, I'd be lying if I said that I was optimistic that I was going to make it to and win a final again. Now that I have, I just feel like this immense amount of pressure has been lifted off my shoulders. There's no curse. The curse is broken. All right. So there you go. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. You guys are going to have to come up with something new now. Okay. You guys have to come up with some new conspiracy or some new form of witchcraft to try and discount my abilities and invalidate what I've accomplished. Again, I'm playing with house money from here on out. That was the win that I needed. That 7th one, I got that monkey off my back. And yeah, at this point, I don't think there's anything that I could necessarily do that is going to, on the show, performance-wise, that is going to tarnish my legacy.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to end on another note. When you, looking ahead, where do you see yourself 10 years still competing or settled down?
10 years?
Candy bananas?
Man, that would be nice. That would be nice. You know, I definitely eventually want to have a family and I mean, I have to at this point to carry on my last name. I'm the last surviving DiVinanzio that could, you know, carry on the name. So yeah, that would be nice. But listen, right now I just feel like I've got a lot going on as far as, you know, my career and work and that sort of thing. So that's kind of what I'm focused on right now. 10 years from now, I cannot see, I don't know how, if my body would even allow me to listen. I feel like I've cheated death a few times already by being on the challenge for as long as I have, you know. So, I mean, we'll see. All that matters is right now. I don't look 10 years into my future. I don't look 10 minutes into my future, okay? You asked me where I'm going to be 10 minutes from now, I couldn't tell you. So 10 years, I don't know. But all you need to know is that for anyone out there that was hoping and praying and wishing that this would be my last dance and my swan song. Yeah, you might want to pack a lunch because I'm going to be around a while.
I'm so happy to hear that. Johnny, thank you so much. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
A little bit fun. Hopefully this whole COVID will be wrapping up soon so you can get back on the road and get back to work.
Tell me about it. You too.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
As always, we are wrapping up this episode with some shout outs, starting with the woman of the week, which has to go to Tyra Banks. She took over as host of Dancing with the Stars. They recently announced that Tom Bergeron and Erin Andrews would not be returning, shocking a lot of longtime fans, as Tom has been part of the show since it debuted. And Erin competed on season 10 of the show and then joined on as host. A lot of people weren't happy that they were leaving, but it is really exciting for Tyra Banks, who, of course, has a lot of hosting experience. She will also be serving as an executive producer on the reality show. Next up, we have What to Watch. Next Wednesday, July 22nd, Love on the Spectrum premieres on Netflix. It is a reality show that we have never seen. It takes a look at singles and couples on the spectrum and how they fell in love. There's some matchmaking, there's heartbreak, there's drama, just what everything we like from a reality TV show. But it is highlighting a group that we've never seen before on reality TV romance shows. So I give Netflix a lot of credit, and I personally cannot wait to watch this. Last, we have our woman to watch, and I think I may have used her before, so I apologize if that's the case, but she deserves it. Megan Fahey of The Bold Type. The finale is this Thursday on Freeform. She has been really, really performing extraordinarily this season. The storyline is very emotional with everything that's happening with her character's relationship. So if you are a Bold Type fan, you know what I'm talking about. If not, but check out the finale either way. As always, guys, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Let me know on social media at Emily Longaretta what TV shows you're watching, what you're loving, what you're not. I want to hear all of it. You can also rate us on iTunes and leave us a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much.